Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Samaritans. You know, from the northern kingdom, a mixed race of Israelites and pagan. Right? They would hold to the first five books of Moses, and they mix in some pagan rituals. And they rejected the prophets like Isaiah, Elijah, Hosea, rejected Jerusalem and the temple. You know, parents, don't let your child date a Samaritan. In the Old Testament reading, when God's people are shown mistreating their half-cousins, there's a sharp rebuke. That's not how you treat others, even if they are wrong. So the background, Samaritans are inferior people that the Jews don't associate with, that they're despised, outcast, and that those people you look down upon. And so then the parable of the Good Samaritan seems pretty obvious. Being called a Good Samaritan, a compliment. And if you come across someone robbed, beaten, left half dead, or they drop something or need help, you should help them. I mean, very few people, Christian or not, who would argue against such an ethic. The basic golden rule stuff. Yeah, and so don't be like the Levite or the priest. Be like the Good Samaritan. Go and love your neighbor. You were inadequately taught that the Good Samaritan is not all about Jesus. Well, of course, the moralistic, ethical lesson here, you go and do likewise. Sure, love your God with your all, love your neighbor with your all, should drive you to acts of compassion, mercy. Now, and compassion means that you suffer with them, you suffer for them. Compassion is not warm, fuzzy thoughts about poor souls. Like in Nepal, if you saw those mudslides that killed thousands, Lord have mercy. That's sympathy. Compassion, as Jesus has compassion, as he sees sheep without a shepherd. Anyone who doesn't have a faithful pastor, and the Lord hurts over them. And compassion hurts you on the inside, and you act with your time, your resources, with your work to serve. Yeah, and certainly don't look for loopholes or exceptions as to who you have to love as neighbor, like the lawyer. Not who is my neighbor. I mean, that is, who must I love? But Jesus turns it on him and says, who proved to be the neighbor? Show mercy, compassion, even to those you don't want to. Perhaps, though, there's more that Jesus is teaching. You know, evil men are not the only ones, thieves and murderers among us. You know, so think about that. Martin Luther, he arrives in Wittenberg and has a young boy commit suicide. And according to the Roman Church, suicide, a mortal sin condemned to hell, cannot be buried in the church cemetery. And Luther makes a profound statement that some say that according to God's justice, this boy is damned because he took his own life. I say he was overcome by the devil. Is this child any more to blame for the despair that overtook him than an innocent man who was murdered by a robber in the woods? Luther would dig the grave and bury the young boy in this church cemetery. You know, Jesus says Satan has been a murderer from the beginning and a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. There's more to this parable than meets the eye. not simply about someone getting jumped in a dark alley or you go be good Samaritan to someone in need. You see, here is a presentation from throughout all of Scripture. It's now at play in Jesus' parable. The heart of all teaching, even the Reformation. The question, what must I do for eternal life? And a man going down from the holy city, as all fallen humanity is stripped by robbers as demons and sin, left for dead, physically alive but spiritually helpless, as humanity entirely incapable of rescuing itself. And if there's any doubt if this is about justification, that how can a sinner come before a holy God like you? How are you saved? And the term is even built into the parable itself. The man seeks to justify himself. The priest and the Levite correspond to God's holy law. I mean, if you even note the epistle, the law has no power to heal or save. Justification, a righteousness God demands. And then comes the Good Samaritan. And we know this to be Jesus, an outsider, one despised by his own people. And Christ enters our broken condition with compassion, mercy. He saves the dying. What the love of man for God or any works or decisions of the law cannot do, he binds up the wounds, that is, forgiveness. He pours out oil and wine. He pours out two sacraments, oil for cleansing, anointing, as pointing to baptism, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, cleansing of death to life, and wine, a medicine of immortality. This prefigures the Holy Eucharist, Christ's own blood shed to cleanse guilt, strengthen soul, a medicine of immortality. And he drops the man off at the inn. The inn, of course, the church, pastors, innkeepers. And he gives the innkeeper, right, to provide for the care. You know, the inn, the church, it's a hospital for sinners, where the spiritually wounded, the dying, are restored, and where Christ continues to provide for the care of the souls with two denarii. Anything needed. His word, sacraments, that his servants in the holy ministry, his treasures, to provide ongoing care until he comes back. And this is how all the church fathers, the Lutheran fathers, understood this parable. As Christ instituted and charged his church, his pastors, the care of souls in an ongoing world where demons attack and sin destroys. Provide ongoing care in the world until he comes back. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Lies at the heart of all church teaching, even the Reformation. And the lawyer with ill-intended motives asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I mean, what a question. Simple as impossible. I mean, you could ask, what can I do to inherit the crown of England, become king? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Who keep the law, the commandments, perfectly. All means all. Your heart, soul, strength, mind, and perfect love to neighbor. Do this and you will live. But no one can meet that demand except one. Only one good Samaritan. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Nothing. you go and do likewise. Receive what the Good Samaritan provides, the care, the healing. Receive healing and life in the oil and wine of his sacraments. He provides here for you in the inn until he comes back. You go and do likewise. You have eternal life by grace. So you go and live according to his law. You show mercy. Show mercy to others. Be as Christ, the Good Samaritan, to others. You go and do likewise. Act in mercy, compassion, not just to the ones that are easy to love and not difficult. Mercy to love your neighbor, it takes work. It may be hard, messy, thankless. Swallowing your pride costs you time and money, and it may not even seem to make a difference. But the mercy you show always matters. You go and do likewise. Your acts of compassion, your mercy, your good works and prayers hold back the forces of darkness in a dark and dying world that has no hope or life. Go and do likewise. You live and act as Christ to the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.